Okay. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. We are starting a new series as we go into Easter. The series is Jesus Is. We're going to consider three benefits of the gospel. This week we are going to be looking at Jesus is our righteousness. And then next week we are going to be looking at Jesus is our forgiveness. And then coming up into Easter, we're going to do Jesus is our victory. And today we're looking at Jesus is our righteousness. So when I was in high school, I met this young gal who I became infatuated with, wanted to pursue a relationship with her, and she didn't. Everything that I did to get her to like me, which I thought I was a likable guy, everything that I did to get her to accept me, she rebuffed me. I called her, I talked to her, I stopped by her house. I even stopped by one time when another guy was there, which was awkward. But no matter what I did, I even gave her gifts for her birthday. Whatever I did was not good enough, and she never accepted me until I gave up. The primary question for all of us, for every human being, is how do we become right with God, or how do we become acceptable to God? How do I become right with or acceptable to God? Many in our culture think that God accepts us just the way we are, that I'm okay as I am. Others think that we need to be a good person to make us acceptable to God. But what is good is not universally agreed upon, even within our culture, let alone across cultures and nations. So today we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about our need to be right with God or to be accepted by God, what the Bible calls justification or being justified. And so my big idea is this. Well, sorry, I'm not sure what happened. Yeah. So my big idea is this. We are justified, made right with God by faith. We are justified, made right with God by faith. So let's read, and then we'll pray.
Galatians 2, verses 15 to 21. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose.
Thank you. So I'm going to pray for us. But so before I actually start praying, I'm going to give you a few moments to pray. And asking God to open up your heart, open up your minds, open up your eyes to see and to grasp and to embrace what we're going to be talking about today. So let's pray. Father, I desperately need your anointing, the power of your Spirit, to bring forth the words that I will say, the truths that I will share, to be clear, to be cogent, to be convincing. Lord, because without your Spirit interacting, not just with me, but with all of us, empowering, giving eyes, helping me to be clear, energizing my words, that unless you do that, we might be more informed, but we will not be transformed. Because the connection between being informed and being transformed is bridged by the work of your Spirit. And so, Lord, I ask that you would do that today, that you would come in a mighty and powerful way. Lord, I just thank you. Just the evidences of the work of your Spirit already through worship and through the sharing and open mic and how it was connected already to what we're talking about through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are three points that I want to bring up today. First of all, the text tells us, and I'm going to be focusing on just verses 15 and 16, because I want to be pretty concise and focus what we're going to be talking about, which is justification by faith. But the first point that I want to bring across is that we cannot be justified by works. That is, we cannot be made acceptable or right with God by our own human efforts. Second of all, I want to look at what is justification. If we can't be justified by our own works, what does it mean to be justified? And Paul says we are justified by faith. And so if we're to be justified by faith, and that's the only way we can be made right with God, we need to not only know what justification is, but we need to know what faith is, what saving faith is. So we're going to look at those three things. First of all, we're going to look at the fact that we cannot be justified by works. Let's look at verses 15 and 16 again. We ourselves are Jews, and Paul's writing and talking to Peter and other Jews. We are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. That is, we were part of the covenant people of God. We had his law, we are his chosen people, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. So Paul rejects any attempt at good works to be justified before God. He describes good works as works of the law to make us acceptable to God or justified before God. Works of the law are basically just following the Mosaic law to be justified before God by following his law. Any attempt to be justified by God before God by works or by works of the law or by any moral code that you may create within your own mind does not make us acceptable to God. Because the law or any moral code exposes human sinfulness. That's why Paul says this in verse 16. And so we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified before God. Romans 3:20 says, "For by works of the law no human being will be justified in his sight, since," you could translate that, "because through the law comes the knowledge of sin." See, the law, any rule incite sin within us. We see this with little kids, right? Little kids are given all kinds of freedom and without boundaries. They'll do whatever you let them, right? But then when you put restrictions on them, they have this innate desire to cross those boundaries, those rules. So the first thing you teach your kid is no, right? So no to touching a glass vase that you have on your coffee table. And you say, no, Johnny, no, Joey, no, Linda. And what do? They look at you and they reach out to touch that vase. They had no desire to touch the vase before. They didn't care about the vase. But you tell them no, and sin rises up, which just reveals to us that we're sinful at the core. Sin is pervasive. It pervades the human heart. No one can be justified before God because human sinfulness taints every thought, every desire, and every action. Let me tell you this. Sin is pervasive in the human heart. It affects the way we think. It distorts our thinking. It twists truth. It tips what is good upside down and calls it bad, hateful, and evil, and turns the evil upside down and calls it good and lovely and beautiful. So sin affects the way we think. Sin affects our desires. See, our desires are sinful. That's why we do, or we desire to do, that which is sinful. And you've heard me say this, because our wanter is broken. Our wanter is twisted. You see, our wanter is twisted because our thinking is twisted, because your thinking affects your desires. So sin affects our thinking, sin affects our desires, and sin affects our actions, what we do. So that sin influences our thinking, therefore our desires, and therefore our actions. See, you do what you want to do. And outside of Christ, all you and I want to do is to sin. Even our good deeds, even those things from a cultural perspective that we say, oh, those are good things. And there are lots of good things, right? That you can help the little old lady cross the road. You can shovel her driveway for her in the middle of winter. You see somebody at the cash register that doesn't have enough money, and so you pay for their groceries. Or somebody's at the gas station and they don't have gas money, and so you give them gas money. Or you build hospitals, or you give extravagantly to good causes. Outside of faith in Christ, all of those are good. Yes, they are on this level, but they still come from a sinful heart, so that they are sinful. Amen. The Bible says that no one is righteous. Paul quotes Psalm 53:3. Paul quotes this in Romans 3. It says, they all have fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. And there is no one who does good, not even one. So from birth, we are sinful. The Bible describes us as sinners who are alienated from a holy God and are guilty before Him. And therefore we are condemned, that we stand under His judgment. and no attempt to do good, to be good, or to obey God's law or any other moral code that you make up will ever justify you before God, because everything we do is tainted by sin outside of Christ. Even in Christ, everything we do is still tainted by sin. But that's the beauty of justification. We'll talk about that in a minute. And so this fact that we are sinful is bad news. It's very bad news for every single one of us. But God does not leave us in our hopelessness, because he provides a way for us to be justified before him, to be accepted or to be acceptable by faith. So first of all, we see in this text that we are not justified by works, that we need to be justified by faith. And so next we want to look at, what does it mean to be justified, or what is justification? Wayne Grudem, in his Systematic Theology, defines justification this way. He says, it's an instant legal act, like a courtroom, a legal act of God in which he, one, thinks of our sins as forgiven and Christ's righteousness as belonging to us humans. And second of all, he declares us to be righteous in his sight. Let me read that again. Justification is an instant legal act of God in which he, number one, thinks of our sins as forgiven and Christ's perfect righteousness as belonging to us. And second of all, he declares us to be righteous in his sight. And so this is what theologians call, or Christian writers call, the great exchange. That is, my unrighteousness, my sinfulness is imputed to Christ in his suffering, and his righteousness is imputed to me because of what he did on the cross. And so Matt, next week, is going to look at our sins being imputed to him, and I want this week is to look at his righteousness being imputed to us, or credited to us. So, in essence, Jesus is our righteousness, because God imputes to us his righteousness. Jesus' righteousness is not just his perfectly lived righteous life, but it's also his moral goodness. So it is imputed to us, and God declares us righteous in his sight, even though we are still sinful. So that we're no longer condemned under his judgment. So God imputes Christ's righteousness to us. And when he does that, God thinks of Christ's righteousness belonging to us, and he credits it to us on our account. So he sees it as belonging to us, even though we are not righteous, we're still sinful, but we are seen as it belonging to us, that his righteousness belongs to us. Romans 4, 5, and 6 says, and to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Romans 4, 22-25, that is why faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, he's talking about Abraham, but the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but also for ours. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised him from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. You and I need Christ's righteousness because we don't have righteousness on our own. The righteousness that the Father has imputed to us is a foreign righteousness. It is an alien righteousness. It is not our righteousness, but it is Christ's righteousness credited to our account. Imputed to us is the language. Found someone who is explaining this to their children, and this is the way they explained it. I asked my 6-year-old to give me her dirty, used napkin, and that I would give her a valuable coin in its place. She, of course, saw the better end of the deal and gladly took the coin. I explained to her that we had just exchanged something, and that an exchange is any time you give something away to receive something in return. As I saw this, she began to grasp this idea. I proceeded to describe our particular exchange. She gave me her dirty, torn napkin, a worthless item, in exchange for my coin, a valuable item. Once I saw that she understood, I proceeded to evaluate or equate her dirty napkin with our sin and my valuable coin with Christ's righteousness. When Jesus died on the cross, he took our sin from us and bore it in our place. Then our sin is exchanged for Jesus' perfect life, life without sin. If we repent and believe Jesus, this exchange takes place, and God, who being a holy God, sees Jesus' perfect life when he looks upon us. That is how we're able to stand before God as sinners. That is how we are made right with God. That is how we are made acceptable to God. So Jesus' righteousness is that the Father sees us as he sees his own Son, perfectly righteous, even though we are still sinful. So it's as though the Father sees you and I, who are still sinful, who still deal with sin on a daily basis, through the lens of Jesus' righteousness. So he sees us as perfectly righteous and acceptable to him. If you look through a piece of glass that is red, everything on the other side will be red. If you look through a piece of glass, everything you see on the other side will be, I'm sorry, if you look through a piece of glass that is blue, everything on the other side of that piece of glass will be blue. If you look through a piece of yellow glass, everything on the other side of that glass will be yellow, because you are seeing it through the lens, colored lens of that glass. And in the same way, God the Father sees you and I through the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not just his perfect righteous life, but his moral character. His sinless character. So that even though we're still sinful and unrighteous, we are seen and accepted as the Father sees and accepts the Son. At Jesus' baptism, God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And when he looks upon you and I because of what Jesus did for us, he says, "This is my beloved Son and daughter, with whom I'm well pleased," because Christ's righteousness has been imputed to us by faith in Christ. When we are justified, our standing before God is forever changed. We go from being enemies to being accepted, to being embraced as his children, because we're loved as the Father loves the Son. So we've seen that we're not justified by works, and we've considered what is justification. And if we're justified by faith, it is necessary that we have a proper understanding of faith. So let's look at what is faith. What is faith? We talk about faith every Sunday. You probably talk about faith throughout the week. Believing or faith is often described as accepting something to be true or accurate, like Homer is 221.5 miles from Anchorage, or that Jesus came to save sinners like me. But when Paul uses faith or belief here, like in verse 16 when he says, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified. When he says and describes faith this way, or believing, he's describing that faith in the sense of believing more than just accepting facts, but he's using faith as an active trusting or relying on the person and the work of Jesus Christ in the gospel. Faith is turning away from trusting in our own efforts to be justified before God to trusting in Jesus Christ to be justified before God. Faith is relying on, resting on, putting our hope in Jesus Christ, in what he did for you in the gospel. That is, he lived a perfect life so that he would become a perfect sacrifice. And he rose again so that you and I would be justified, reconciled with God, and having peace with God. When you grasp this reality, that we're justified by faith, it is freeing, it is motivating, and it is life-giving. It is freeing because you no longer have to worry about if you'll ever be good enough for God. It is freeing because you no longer have to fear that you are not acceptable to God or that he will not accept you. It is motivating because nothing hinders you from pursuing God because you are already accepted. It is motivating because you are motivated to follow Jesus, not to be accepted, but you live by faith from a place of being already accepted. It is motivating because you are already God's child who loves you and who embraces you as his own. And it's life-giving because you can now live without shame, without guilt, because you've been completely accepted in Jesus Christ. So you no longer have to hide your sin. You no longer have to feel shamed by your sin. Because God has accepted you in Christ. Amen. You no longer have to live a double life. It is life-giving because you have confidence that because your justification before God guarantees your glorification. Paul says in Romans 8:30, he said, he who he justified, he also glorified. That is, if you have genuinely come to saving faith, embraced the gospel, the person and the work of Jesus Christ, you are justified before God. That is, you are completely accepted. And if that has happened to you, you will be glorified. That is, the presence of sin will be completely removed from you for all eternity. No more struggle, no more heartache, no more repentance, because your wanter will be completely healed, completely transformed. And that hope of glory encourages us to fight for holiness now. Because the one who began a good work in us will bring it about unto completion unto the day of Christ. See, those who are genuinely justified, stand right before God, have peace with God, ultimately will be sanctified. That is, we will become more and more like Jesus Christ in this life. And the hope of that is because he's justified us. He's reconciled us to us. He has given us a new nature. He has given us his Spirit. Now, sometimes that growth in sanctification and holiness is imperceptible. Can you identify with that? Okay, I identify with that. Sometimes it looks like it's stalled out. Sometimes it is hard. It is painful. Other times we see great strides and get great growth. Here's the challenge for all of us with sanctification. See, we are Western in our mindset, so we are like mechanical. We want A plus B equals C. We want to think that just because I spend time in my Bible, just because I pray, just because I'm around people that are going to hold me accountable, I'm going to automatically just change. Like an assembly line. And the Bible's description of spiritual growth is more organic. You sow, you reap. You sow, you reap. You sow, you don't reap. You sow, you sow, you sow, you sow, then you reap. I think I used this illustration a couple of weeks ago. Is that, you know, I like to garden. And so you plant stuff. Some things take days to sprout. Some things takes week to sprout. Garlic, you actually have to plant in the fall and it will sprout in the spring. But it has to go through that cold, hard season before it sprouts. I can eat radishes in 2 weeks. But it took me 5 years to get asparagus. I can have squash in a season. But it took me 7 years to have fresh peaches. Those he justified, he also glorified. So how do we respond to God's word? Jesus is our righteousness. So the question to ask yourself as we go to the Lord's Supper, is my hope in my good works, or is my hope in turning away from my good works, finding my justification by faith in Jesus Christ? And here's the summary statement of justification. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And so as we go to the Lord's Supper, this is what I want us to do this morning, just to sit before the Lord, let what I've said just kind of marinate over you for a few moments, and allow God to speak to you, or continue to speak to you, and how, asking him how you should respond to what was taught today. Now to him who has saved us who has justified us, who is sanctifying us, and who will glorify us. To him be glory forever and ever, and all God's people said, amen. Go in the grace and peace in Christ and in the power of his Spirit.